Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and you're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. It's time now to don our Beta lab coats and mess up our hair Victor Frankenstein style.
My name is Frankenstein!
Because we're about to embark on yet another rock and roll thought experiment. So fire up your Bunsen burners and break out those test tubes, because author Seth Kaufman is here. He's the author of Metaphysical Graffiti, Rock and Roll and the Meaning of Life. He joins us now to investigate the concept album.
If you want to rock, you got to break the rules.
It's just a shame you missed out on rock and roll. It's over.
I hope we pass the audition.
Thought experiment.
And there used to be a way to stick it to the man. It was called rock and roll.
You consider the early concept albums, the ones in the mid-60s, from 66 to 69, to be examples of audacity, which you also describe as rock's secret weapon. Why do you consider these concept albums to be so audacious?
The audacity of doing a long-form musical suite, which shouldn't be that revolutionary, but in fact it was. Nobody had really done it. You had Broadway musicals, you had song cycles, but nobody in the rock world and in the pop music world ever really did something that was sort of had a novelistic approach. And even the first attempts, Sgt. Pepper on one level is considered by many to be a concept album. But the concept is very weak compared to what it later became, compared to Tommy.
The Who and Quadrophenia.
Right. So that is a really audacious thing. Having said that it's audacious, I don't like that many concept albums, I have to say. I'm not a huge fan of the form. And the part of that is because progressive rock, which I'm not a huge fan of, they seem to have gravitated toward the concept album, progressive rock bands, more than other bands.
Yeah.
And so it's audacious, it's powerful, and yet I have a problem with it. And that brings me to the centerpiece of this chapter, which is the one progressive rock album I do love that is a concept album, which is Jethro Tull's Thick as a Brick.
Really don't mind if you sit this one out. My words, but a whisper, your deafness, a shout.
You make the case in the essay that this album is a progressive rock concept album that is so good it breaks the prog rock cycle and even transcends the overuse of the flute, which may well be your least favorite rock and roll instrument.
Yes.
So that's a pretty audacious statement, which is only fitting given what we're talking about.
Yeah. Dark Side of the Moon is an interesting. The Wall is great. The Genesis, Lamb Lies Down. These are there's been some very interesting theatrical pieces, but to me, what they almost all lack is a sense of humor.
Why is Jethro Tull's Thick as a Brick album so good?
There are a bunch of reasons. Let's start with the fact is that prior to making Thick as a Brick, Ian Anderson, the leader of Jethro Tull, they made an album called Aqualung. And many people interpreted this as a concept album. Ian Anderson said, no, that wasn't a concept album. And apparently the story goes that he said, I'll show you what a concept album is. So then he designs an album that begins with the cover art. It's called Thick as a Brick, and on the cover is a fake news story about a poem written by an 8-year-old, and it's an epic poem, and it had won a prize from the Society for Literary Advancement and Gestation, SLAG is the acronym, but it was rescinded after a panel of psychologists determined the poet was unbalanced and that the poem revealed an extremely troublesome attitude toward life, his God, and country. So the lyrics are the poem that this 8-year-old supposedly wrote.
Ah.
I may be going out on the limb here. I may be completely wrong, but I choose to read this lyric in a way also as something of a jab at music critics.
Did you know that the letter by the Box Tops was a minute and 58 seconds long? It means nothing, nil. But it takes them less than 2 minutes to accomplish what Jethro Tull takes hours to not accomplish. You see, this is fatuous, pseudo-blubber, you know.
And wise men and critics in general, because the chorus is...
As a brick.
In this case, thick means stupid. And I kind of feel like he's saying that maybe some of you guys out there think you're smarter than you are. And then the other thing is that Thick as a Brick is an entire album. It is one continuous song.
Yeah, even continues from side one to side two. It's still the same song, right?
So in terms of concept records, this is monumental. This out-progs everybody. Right? It's a sweet, it rocks, it's a very inventive body of work. The lyrics go from hard rock to lilting, almost middle-aged folk, I would say. It's a kind of a wonderful album, and it's a very audacious thing because also it's not going to get played on the radio. There was a single that was released that kind of condensed things, but I don't ever recall hearing it on the radio.
So the single that condensed things, it didn't just take, a 1 3-minute chunk?
I think it took 1 3-minute chunk, and they may have edited it out so that they could get the chorus in once or twice.
Sure.
And it's definitely pompous. To do what they did takes a lot of audacity, a lot of moxie to say, hey, we're going to do an album that you can't play on the radio. You can't even drop the needle and pick it and put it on your favorite parts or your favorite songs.
That was Seth Kaufman with a rock and roll thought experiment about concept albums. His rock and roll essay collection is called Metaphysical Graffiti. And that got us thinking about our favorite concept albums.